I want to move very quickly to this very compelling argument made by Desmond Ford and Ballinger. And this was the argument that they made. They argue that Jesus went directly within the veil into the most holy place in AD 31. Now, this idea is problematic for Seventh-day Adventists. And the reason is quite obvious. If Jesus, upon his ascension, went directly into the most holy place, what does it do to 1844? It destroys it. Okay? If Jesus, in AD 31, goes to heaven and goes directly within the veil to the most holy place ministry, 1844 is destroyed. And the two problem texts that were presented by Desmond Ford and Ballinger was Hebrews 6:19 through 20 and Hebrews 10:19 through 21. And again, I want to give credit where credit is due, because what I'm going to share with you from here on out to the end is because of Richard Davidson and his tremendous contribution to our church in his study of Within the Veil. And if you ever get on the Adventist Theological Society and read his articles, just profound, can elaborate a lot more and a lot more deeply and articulate than I ever can. But I just want to present to you Richard Davidson's study on this. Now, let's read Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 20. And this has been an issue for Seventh-day Adventists, especially because of Desmond Ford. Let's read it here. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, which hope we have as an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entered into within the veil, whither the forerunner is for us, I can't read this morning, whither the forerunner is for us entered, even Jesus, made an high priest forever, after the order of Melchizedek. Now, there have been many attempts to explain that within the veil here refers to the first veil into the holy place, but this text refers to the veil that goes into the most holy place. That's a significant problem for Seventh-day Adventists. Because what Paul is saying here, when you look at the context, that when Jesus ascended to heaven, he went directly within the veil. And that veil, in the context and when you do exegesis of the book of Hebrews, is into the most holy place. Richard Davidson elaborates and shows us that the book of Hebrews, specifically chapter 6 and 10, are in what we call a chiastic structure. It's a form of Hebrew literature and poetry, and the height of the chiasm is the sanctuary motif in Hebrews chapter 9, verses 1 through 10. And the reason that I want to show you that is really when you look at the chiastic structure, what we just read in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 20, the parallel of that is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 20. The parallel to Hebrews chapter 6, 19 is Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19, and Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 says essentially the same thing, except gives more Old Testament background. And let's read Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 20 here. It uses the motif, the idea within the veil. Now, let's read this here. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest, now, some translations say the holiest of all, Tahagia, by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he consecrated, the original word is inkaizo, it's been a while since Greek, for us, through the veil that is his flesh. So here is the parallel to 6:19, except here it gives more background, and it says the same thing, that Jesus, when he went into heaven, he went within the veil, went into the most holy place. Now, this is a problem for us as Seventh-day Adventists because we believe that Jesus, upon his ascension, went into the holy place ministry and then in 1844 transferred and went within the veil in 1844. Now, how do we deal with this? That word consecrated shows us why Jesus went within the veil. And it's the word enkaizo. And the word enkaizo is only found in Numbers chapter 7, verse 10, 11, 84, and 88 in the LXX, which is the Septuagint. Now, the Septuagint is the Greek translation of the Old Testament. The Old Testament was originally written in Hebrew and Aramaic, but the Jewish scholars translated the Old Testament from Hebrew and Aramaic to Greek, which was the lingua franca of the Roman Empire, and the Septuagint was around and widely used during the time of Christ. When Jesus was walking this earth, the Septuagint, the Greek translation of the Old Testament, was commonly used, and even in Pauline's epistles, he quotes from the Septuagint, arguably more from the Hebrew Bible. So just, you know, because the fact that the apostles used it shows us that it is a legitimate translation of the Holy Scriptures and is widely accepted today as a reliable source. The significance of the Septuagint is that the New Testament was written in Greek. And what you can do is do a word study comparing the Greek use of a certain word in the New Testament with the Septuagint, which was widely used during the time of Christ, and see if the other time that that word was used. It says here in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 20, which is a parallel of Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, that Jesus consecrated for us, in kaizo, and went through the veil. Now that word, consecrated, in kaizo, in the Septuagint, is only used in one chapter of the entire Old Testament of the Septuagint. This is significant because that chapter is Numbers chapter 7. Now, this is a significant discovery for Seventh-day Adventists because after I did this study, I came away saying, look, we are not insane people. I came away with the understanding that we're in the right church, friends. Biblical scholarship, the best and brilliant biblical Adventist scholarship, has shown us this. Numbers chapter 7. Now, when you read Numbers chapter 7, Numbers chapter 7 is all about the inauguration of the temple. What does that mean? In other words, when you have a building for the first time, you just built it, you have a dedication of that building. When you build a new church, you have conference officials come down, and what do? You cut the ribbon, right, many times, and you have a special dedication of that sanctuary. Well, guess what? When Jesus went to heaven, he was anointed, made the transition from the Lamb to the high priest, and he was anointed, and the heavenly sanctuary was dedicated. It was inaugurated. And when you look at the Old Testament, there were actually two times that the high priest would ever go within the veil to the most holy place. One time was on the Day of Atonement, and the other time was at the very beginning, at the dedication and the consecration of the sanctuary. Those two times. Numbers chapter 7 describes the inauguration of Moses' tabernacle. That event also involved the anointing of Aaron as high priest, and they went through a special ceremony where Moses, prior to the inauguration of Aaron, acting as high priest, went into the most holy place, went into and within the veil. Now let's read about it here and mention the other times that in kaizo, the word that's used in the book of Hebrews is used as well. This is the only time that Greek word is used. Numbers chapter 7, verse 10. Now, the leaders offered the dedication, in kaizo, that word in the Septuagint, you can look it up, in the Greek translation of the Old Testament. There it is. The only time it's mentioned is in Numbers chapter 7. Now, the leaders offered the dedication, in kaizo, offering for the altar when it was anointed, so that the leaders offered the offering before the altar. Numbers chapter 7, verse 11. For the Lord said to Moses, they shall offer their offering one liter each day for the dedication in kaizo of the altar. Moving on, Numbers chapter 7, verse 84. This was the dedication in kaizo, offering for the altar from the leaders of Israel when it was anointed, 12 silver platters, silver bowls, and 12 gold pans. So you can see on the dedication of the temple, they would go from article to article and dedicate each article of furniture prior to the sanctuary service taking place. The inauguration, the institution of the sanctuary service. Let's go to our last quote here. Numbers chapter 7, verse 88, and all the oxen for the sacrifice of peace offering were 24 bulls, the rams 60, the male goats 60, and the lambs in the first year 60. This was the dedication in kaizo offering for the altar after it was anointed. Moving very quickly here, the most holy place entered on inauguration. In the inauguration of the sanctuary, Moses, acting as his priestly function before the ordaining of Aaron, went into both the holy place and the most holy place in Exodus chapter 40, verse 9 through 10, and Numbers chapter 7, verse 1. So let's put this together. In the book of Hebrews, in Hebrews chapter 6 and Hebrews chapter 10, when Paul says that Christ, upon his ascension, went within the veil, he uses the word consecrated, in kaizo. The only other place that word is used in the Greek Septuagint is Numbers chapter 7, referring specifically to this notion and this idea of the inauguration of the sanctuary. So when Jesus went to heaven and transitioned from the Lamb to the high priest, he was anointed, inaugurated, and the sanctuary in heaven was dedicated and consecrated. And Jesus went within the veil to consecrate in kaizo, the sanctuary, just like Moses did in Numbers chapter 7. Desmond Ford's argument crumbles. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19 through 21, Hebrews chapter 10, verse 19 through 21, 20 are parallel. Both refer to the inauguration of the sanctuary upon Christ's ascension. The other problem text that is presented by Ballinger and Ford is Hebrews chapter 9, verse 12. I want to read it here very quickly. Neither by the blood of goats, tragos, and calves, but by his own blood he entered once into the holy place. Now, some translations say most holy place, Tahagia, having obtained eternal redemption for us. And there's a big discussion, argument in theological circles as to what the holy place should be, Tahagia, but it refers to the whole sanctuary, and it's irrelevant because here Paul uses the Greek word tragos for goats. Now, goats were used in two distinct ceremonies. They were used other places, but one time they were used was obviously on the Day of Atonement. The other time goats were used was in the dedication. Now, it's peculiar that Paul would use this word. He says, neither by the blood of goats, tragos. He uses tragos here, and Paul was familiar with the Septuagint, and he knew that there were two specific words for goats that he could use. But he specifically chose the word tragos, and you'll never guess the only place where tragos is used in the Septuagint. What chapter do you think it is? You're absolutely right. Numbers chapter 7. And Numbers chapter 7 deals specifically with the inauguration of the sanctuary. Here it is. According to Richard Davison, in the LXX, the Septuagint, the word tragos for gold only appears in one chapter of the Pentateuch describing sanctuary rituals. Now, this is significant. One chapter in the Pentateuch, Numbers chapter 7, and it is 13 times. 13 times. The setting of Numbers 7 is the inauguration of the sanctuary, and incidentally, Leviticus chapter 16, which is about the Day of Atonement, uses a different word for goat, chimaros. Chapter 16 is talking about the Day of Atonement. So simply from just a literary study of the original language, you can see that Desmond Ford's arguments in regards to these specific verses within the veil and Jesus entering into the most holy place and therefore entered into the most holy place Day of Atonement or antitypical Day of Atonement is simply unbiblical. It is not established upon biblical exegesis. In reflection, very quickly here, I want to read a couple passages in regards to the inauguration of Adam. The psalmist says in Psalm 133, verse 2, it is like the precious oil upon the head running down the beard of Aaron running down the edge of his garments. This is in reference to the day that not only was the sanctuary inaugurated, but Aaron was anointed and dedicated. I want you to notice the nature of the anointing. It's not like the anointings that we have today where we take a little dab of oil and put it on the forehead of the individual that we want to anoint. And for practical purposes, we can see why. But you can see that this oil runs down the head, down the beard, so much oil that it runs down the garment and drips, by implication, to the ground. In the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, here is a reference to the inauguration of Jesus. But to the Son, he says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is a scepter of your kingdom. You have loved righteousness and hated lawlessness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you." Who's you? The Son. "With the oil of gladness more than your companions." This is a reference to the inauguration of Jesus when he went to heaven and became our high priest. I want to read from Hebrews chapter 8, verse 1 and 2, talking about the high priest in heaven. Now, very quickly here, Acts of the Apostles, page 38 and 39, Christ's ascension to heaven was the signal that his followers were to receive the promised blessing. For this they were to wait before they entered upon their work. Listen to this. "When Christ passed within the heavenly gates, he was enthroned amidst the adoration of angels, and as soon as this ceremony was completed, the Holy Spirit descended upon the disciples in rich currents, and Christ was indeed glorified, even with the glory." I want you to notice what Ellen White is saying in the book Acts of the Apostles. She says that as soon as the ceremony was what? Was completed, that the Holy Spirit fell upon the apostles. In other words, there was a synchronization, as it were, between a ceremony in heaven and the falling of the Holy Spirit in the upper room. Are you following me? According to Ellen White, in the book Acts of the Apostles, as soon as a certain ceremony was completed, as soon as it ended, the Holy Spirit fell upon the disciples in the upper room. So there is a synchronization on this event between heaven and earth. Ceremony completed in heaven, and the falling of the Holy Spirit on the disciples in the upper room. Now, I want you to notice that Jesus went to heaven, and he stayed on this earth about 40 days, according to the book of Acts, 40 days, and then he went to heaven, and there were 10 days between his ascension and Pentecost. What was taking place during those 10 days? This ceremony. When the ceremony was completed, the Holy Spirit fell. What was that ceremony? Now, I want to read it here, continuing on in this quote. I just read Acts the Apostles 38 and 39, "which he had with the Father from all eternity. The Pentecostal outpouring was heaven's communication that the Redeemer's," what? Say it again. Inauguration was what? Was accomplished. According to his promise, he had sent the Holy Spirit from heaven to his followers as a token that he had, as a priest and king, received all authority in heaven and on earth, and was, and notice what she says, the anointed one over his people. This is what took place. As soon as the inauguration was completed. Remember Psalm 133? The oil that fell on Aaron went down his head, down his beard, drenched his garments, and fell to the ground. In my mind's eye, I picture the inauguration of Jesus Christ as our high priest in heaven, and the inauguration of the temple, the inauguration of the sanctuary. And you imagine, remember what she says, this was completed, the oil is falling on Jesus, and just picture this, that oil falls down and drips. I love Richard Davidson in my class, he says, and that oil fell from heaven and was lit with fire. Amen. And fell on the disciples. Praise God. Praise his name. And friends, I know we talked a lot of theology, but Jesus said that they that worship me will worship me in spirit and truth.
You have been listening to another special American Christian Ministries presentation. Free listing of this message and over 7,000 other presentations by more than 100 speakers on 50 different topics is now available on our American Christian Ministries mobile app for Android and Apple devices, and on our secure website, or call 800-233-4450. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help to prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.